Okay, we'll stay so right there. All right, and then after this, we'll move to the other side of the room. Okay, because Deb is falling asleep back there, so we don't want to fall asleep. Okay.
Do you still have ego thoughts?
Hell with you. I'm not going to tell you if I have ego thoughts. It's none of your goddamn business if I have ego thoughts.
Well, it's really to lead into my real question.
I trust that answers the question.
If you still do when you lose your body, what do you imagine your mind will be doing then?
Exactly what it was doing before I died.
I know, but
I'm going to get to that a little bit later today.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But since I'm not in my body, and if I have unkind thoughts in my mind, so when my body physically dies, why would the unkind thoughts not be there? They would still be there.
Right. I get that. I just wonder if your mind will be floating around or...
Well, if I'm still angry at you for asking such an impertinent question, then if my body dies, I'll still be hanging around you. So the mind is never floating around in the sense the mind is always the mind. The problem is that it's very hard to conceive of the mind without thinking of it that it's in a place. You know, very often I get asked, where is the mind? You know, well, you can't answer that question because it's not a where question. You know, some quantum physicists talk about the mind being non-local, or thought being non-local. I mean, it's not spatially oriented. So you can't even talk about where the mind is. You know, we can say where the body is or where the brain is, but we can't really say where the mind is. But so when we die, when our bodies die, the mind is still what it always was.
And can we think that we'll be one step closer to going home?
No.
No?
Why? No, because the body's death is irrelevant. Again, we'll discuss this more later. You're not one step closer to heaven or one step closer to hell. You're the same place you were before you died. You're the same place you were before you were born. Because everything is in the mind. You know, that's the idea. And your question really... is coming from, I think, everybody's difficulty in kind of understanding this, because we can't understand it with our brain. And, you know, and no matter how much we hear that we're minds, it's still our brains trying to hear this or interpret this. And so, you know, the point of this is that we're all in this blue circle, always. We're never here. You know, that's the key to ideas leave not their source. The body, the thought of separation or the thought of guilt never leaves the mind, so that projection doesn't work. So there is no body here. We think there is, so we're really always here. You know. So I quoted yesterday very, very quickly. You may have missed it. The line from Hamlet's "To be or not to be" speech. What dreams may come, and many of you may have seen the Robin Williams movie many years ago called "Of What Dreams May Come." It's a very interesting movie. And in it, Robin Williams is a physician, I think, and he's married with a couple of kids, and the kids die. He dies in an accident, and the wife is left with her tremendous guilt and anger, and she's just a psychological mess, and she dies. And so the core of the movie is what happens after they both die and they're in the afterlife, and the wife is caught in this kind of awful morass of self-hatred, right? Because the guilt that she felt of the death of her children and then subsequently the death of her husband is still there. And she's caught in this morass of guilt in a very dark place, and she's trapped and can't get out. And Robin Williams, who's now dead, tries to get her, and he eventually, through his forgiveness and his love, he gets her free. So, you know, it's a nice, happy story. Yeah. And then they come back as little children, and they find each other. That's how the movie ends, but it made the point very clearly that all the guilt and the fear and the anger and the hurt that was in this woman before she died was there afterwards. Nothing had changed. You know, and I think that's it's one of the few times that a movie I think does reality justice in that sense. right? And a Hamlet speech, to be or not to be, which leads to say what dreams may come, is that, you know, better the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, because the speech is contemplating suicide. To be or not to be, do I exist or do I not exist? And what keeps him alive physically is the fear of what dreams may come. You know, who knows what will happen afterwards? And to whatever extent there was anger and guilt in him, and there's a great deal of it, on some level, intuitively, he knew that if he died, they would still be there. Right. And so, again, your question is a very good one, and I think it reflects what almost everybody thinks about in one way or another. Because death seems so real, since our body seems so real, that it's hard to imagine that it doesn't have an effect. But it doesn't have an effect. What does have an effect is the thoughts you had before you died, while you were dying, and that will affect what happens after you die. But there was no before, during, or after. Remember, the mind is outside of time and space. So if there's forgiveness and there's love and peace and healing, that's what you, quotes, take with you, you know, when you physically die. If there's anger and guilt and fear, then that's, quote, what you take with you, unquote, when you die. But the body's death is irrelevant. What is not irrelevant and directly relevant is which teacher do you choose? Not only when you die, but when you think you're living. And if it's the ego, then again, you're going to have guilt, anxiety, and fear. And if it's the Holy Spirit, there'll be peace and forgiveness. So. Okay, but we'll come back to this later, too.